We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Back in Wednesday edition, Fesco in the morning. Along with Bob Fesco, I'm Josh Klingler. We're doing our 60th anniversary interviews all season long, each and every Wednesday at 9:15. Chiefs history, those are instrumental in the history, the 60 years that the Chiefs are celebrating of Chiefs football. And today's interview, pretty cool.
Yeah, the former head coach, my favorite coach of all time, Dick Vermeil. Coach, how you doing, my friend?
Morning, good, Coach.
I'm doing fine, thank you. How about you guys?
We're doing great. And each week we're taking a look back at somebody in history that made a big impact on this organization. And obviously you made a huge impact on the Kansas City Chiefs organization. How close were you to taking the job when Carl initially was hired here in Kansas City?
Not close enough. I should have, but, you know, they hired a better coach than Marty Schottenheimer, believe me. You know, Marty Schottenheimer is a Hall of Fame football coach, but because of not real good success in playoffs, he's not in the Hall of Fame. But to me, that's a poor criteria for leaving him out. But that's how it is in the league today.
Yeah, got to get that Super Bowl championship. And then eventually it came around, and in 2001, you finally became the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. What made you decide at that time, all right, let's go give this one more run. Let me finally go to Kansas City where Carl's wanted me forever and a day.
Well, first off, I realized I made a mistake in retiring after winning the Super Bowl at the Rams, but I didn't think I'd go back. And then Carl came after me and Lamar Hunt and Lynn Stiles and you know, I knew I'd made a mistake, and there couldn't be a finer organization in the NFL for Dick Vermeil to go back to. You know, I don't think I'd have gone back to any other organization. I had great confidence. First off, it was not in turmoil. It was a good program to take over. In fact, my biggest disappointment in my coaching career is I didn't do a good enough job to hand Lamar Hunt that trophy that's named after him. But, it's the 5 years I spent there was as good a 5 years in terms of enjoyment as a coach and a person in a community as I've spent anywhere.
And you say that's your biggest regret, and I've heard you say that before. What would you have done differently? I mean, everybody reflects and looks back to get Lamar Hunt that trophy.
Well, I started the Rams in 97. I went back to the old way, 100% the old program that I had run, and we got there in 3 years and won it. You know, and it was the losingest program of football. In my third year there, I modernized my approach because I felt I had done everything. My players had done everything. My coaches and administration had done everything we could to make this football team better. Now I was going to back off on them and not try to make them better every second, but put them together as a team better and send them into games just a little bit fresher, not with the thought of it getting better, but winning. And I used that same approach coming into Kansas City to start out my first year. And everyone thought that my first year, that's where we ran it in Kansas City, was a little tougher approach than had been used in the past. But it was the same approach I used my third year at the Rams. If I had it to do over again, I think I'd start at least the first year back with my first year program. And I think it would have helped me develop a defense that I failed to do.
Kind of some pressure, I guess, you put on yourself. You're coming off a Super Bowl in St. Louis and then coming to a franchise where they were striving, obviously, to get there and to hand that trophy. That's a little pressure. I know you wanted to give that trophy to Lamar Hunt, but that's a little pressure to walk into on your end, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I felt mature. In fact, it might have been the first time in my entire coaching career, from high school to junior college to college to the NFL, that I felt totally confident and prepared that I knew what I was doing and how it should be done. You know, and it was different than how I did it in Philadelphia because, you know, I no longer coached my own, called my own offense and all that kind of stuff. I had coordinators, which I didn't have when I was in Philadelphia. But being out for 14 years in broadcasting, I was more or less forced to do that. And I made sure, number one, we had great organization, we had good players, we had the discipline, we had a great work ethic, and the players were in a frame of mind to be coached by a fine coaching staff. But somewhere along the line, I failed in helping them get better at defense enough so we could win it all.
What happened on that defense? Because we're seeing it like right now before our eyes. Everybody keeps comparing this team now to that team back in 2003 where you were so spectacular on offense, but everybody knows how it ended with nobody punting in that game against the Indianapolis Colts because the defense wasn't there, and fans are starting to get a little nervous here. Like, what happened with the defense?
Well, we didn't get the results out of the defensive draft that we had hoped to. Okay, you know, remember Sims, we drafted him, moved up to get him. He was a fine player in college and also in the Senior Bowl, and a linebacker that had played for me for 7 years and coached for me at the Rams had said he was a can't miss. And we drafted him, and then he doesn't come to training camp because his agents keep him out. He missed the entire training camp. And that really, really, that really, really hurt him. But, anyway, I just, you know.
Tell Carol we said hi.
We've got a couple other defensive line coaches but players that just didn't meet our expectations. And that really hurt us. In fact, our best draft choice probably the whole time was our fourth round pick in 2004 when we got the great defensive end, you know, was later traded to Minnesota.
Yeah, Jared Allen. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He didn't get the defense put together. That's all.
Yeah.
Not enough good players.
Talk with Dick Vermeil here on 610 Sports Radio. And I think, you know, the one thing that we've experienced by talking to everybody in these 60th anniversary lookbacks is the love that everybody had for Lamar Hunt. Why was he so loved? What made him a guy that folks loved working for and wanted to work for?
Well, number one, he was very humble. Number two, no one had a greater passion for the NFL football team that he owned than Lamar Hunt. Very compassionate about his players and his coaches. You know, you couldn't find a better example of a great owner in the entire league. And I just, I never enjoyed an owner as much as I enjoyed him, not only as an owner, but as a good friend. Just a great man.
You know, also, I think when you look back at your time here in Kansas City, for me, I think my favorite moment, one of the best things that I've ever seen in sports, was that game after 9/11 against the Giants, where everybody came out with the flags and the money was raised at Arrowhead Stadium. What was that moment like for you to be on the sidelines that day in such an emotional stadium?
Well, like you just mentioned the term emotional, and I'm an emotional guy, and I can remember standing there seeing all those things and tears running down my eyes and still disbelief that what took place on the 9/11. And here we're honoring 9/11 by playing the first game after 9/11, missing one game. And just the fact that you're playing at home amongst your fans, the American flag there, the Star Spangled Banner, the disaster of 9/11, that emotional experience can probably never be duplicated. In fact, you wouldn't want to duplicate it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I still think people ask me all the time, you know, we've been to Super Bowls and Final Fours and all kinds of crazy things, and people say, what's the best sporting event you've been to? And I say the Chiefs-Giants after 9/11 is always going to be up there for me as the best sporting event because I was just so amazed by everything that went on that game. You know, it was just
yeah,
really
no
remarkable.
Question, no question. And the only negative the whole day was we lost.
Right. that is true.
I didn't remember that portion.
The Chiefs, the Giants won the game. It was kind of fitting for the Giants to win that game coming back after 9/11. What was your what was your favorite moment coaching here, Coach?
Geez, I had so many of them. You know, I go back to thinking about tying the game up in Green Bay. I think it was for our ninth win in a row.
Yeah.
And then going into overtime and then Trent hits Eddie Kennison on a bomb and wins the football game for us. I think that was just an unbelievable experience. And, of course, Brett Favre was still the quarterback and those kind of things. And in Green Bay and that atmosphere amongst those fans, that was one of the highlights, really, for me of the entire time I was there. Also beating New England and those. We beat four or five playoff teams the second half of the 2005 season that was really a good accomplishment for a football team. And, you know, we won 10 games and don't go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I remember Lamar Hunt coming into my office. And, you know, he used to print little tiny, you could hardly read it. And he came in with this whole diagram of evaluation of that 2005 season, and he says, you know, Dick, we played the toughest schedule in football, and as a football team, we beat more good football teams than anybody else in the league, so good job. I'll never forget that.
Wow. That's pretty remarkable. I guess that's why people like working for him. You actually get, you know, rewarded and credited for doing a good job, huh?
Yeah, no question. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't good enough. You know, 10 wins and don't go to the playoffs. I think that had been accomplished one other time. Not an accomplishment you like to talk about.
No, not at all. What do you think of this year's version of the Chiefs?
Well, I like them. I think they've got some injury problems right now. You know, to me, they're the best offensive team in football, and I think they've got the best head football coach in football right now. And, you know, if they can get the defense back and you get some of those injured players back, you know, that make a difference. You know, Chris Jones not playing makes a huge difference, boy. I mean, he's become a force inside, and I think everyone would agree with that. They get back there, get 100% healthy, they're going to be very tough to beat down the stretch.
You still talking to Andy a lot?
Yeah, we text back and forth. I just, you know, I don't want to interfere or give suggestions. I text, wish him luck, and maybe once in a while throw a thought out there about, you know, a situation that he's in.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, it'll be fun to watch him in Denver this Thursday night. We're all looking forward to hopefully getting back on the right track, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, they're a better team than Denver. They should beat him. But you know something? I took better teams into Denver a number of times and went there 0-5. So I'm certainly no genius to be asking about how to beat Denver in Denver.
That's true. Very good point. Coach, we appreciate the time. Always love hearing your voice and love catching up with you, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Hello, Kansas City.
Take care. Take care. Dick Vermeil with us here on 610 Sports Radio, looking back at our 60th anniversary interviews that we do each week. And what better coach to have on than Coach Dick Vermeil?
You can hear all the interviews at 610sports.com in the on-demand section or via the radio.com app.
Fesco in the morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.